Yeah, how many NFL teams have had two left-handed starting quarterbacks, Steve Young and Chris Sims?
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Seen, I used to probably go to a couple of Bucks games a year. I like Raymond James Stadium, where the Bucks play and where the Super Bowl is.
And where WrestleMania is?
That's true. WrestleMania 37. No, not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, WrestleMania 37. They're going to have fans.
Yep.
Dang, George. Good job. big news locally, recruiting-wise, Caden Helms from Bellevue West has been offered a scholarship by Oklahoma. Going to be a good 2022 class in the Metro. Once again, as we welcome in from Husker 24/7, Mike Schaefer. Good snowy Monday morning. How are you, sir?
I am. I'm doing well. What a last couple days for the Omaha prep scene, right? Like, you got the big Avante Dickerson news, and then Hunter Salas announces that he's got a commitment date in mind. Now Caden Helms is picking up offers. It's rolling in Omaha these days.
Yeah, it's also good to be the head coach at Bellevue West. You've got a lot of attention on your program. We will have a Burke Bulldog and a Central Eagle that will get a lot of attention in 2022. But before we get into that, and there is plenty of time to discuss that, Avante Dickerson just kind of stopped by and dropped a little news and then had everybody get back to their normal day-to-day activities. Officially decommitted from Minnesota. What do you think? I mean, that was pretty clear. What do you think this means now on January 25th to February 3rd? Is it basically down to two schools, Nebraska and Oregon?
It feels that way. I mean, maybe there's another school. It's not like Avante is going to put a list out for us at this point, but it does feel like Nebraska and Oregon, and, you know, that's a really sort of unique battle in that you have the home state school. You have Oregon that's much further away, and at one point in time I had heard that maybe distance was a reason that he might not end up doing Minnesota because of the pandemic. The Minnesota thing's interesting because if you read the coverage from Minnesota writers and the general feeling from Minnesota coaches, they're surprised that this all played out. Like, they really thought that they were going to get Avante Dickerson. And so it makes me wonder kind of what that relationship sort of was like and mm-hmm. why there was so much confidence, even this fall, when to those of us here in Nebraska, it seemed like he wasn't going to go to Minnesota. The belief was very strong that he was going to go to Minnesota up there. So it's just that was sort of a weird thing to figure out. And then I think a lot of sort of the heavy Oregon talk has emanated from that same kind of coaching staff that felt like they were going to sign him. So it's kind of a unique deal in that way. And so once again, Avante Dickerson, I think more than almost any other in-state recruit I've ever covered, you can't listen to the noise that sort of surrounds the other people talking for him because it hasn't added up really at any point. And so he's going to make the decision that's best for him, that he feels that is best for him. He's not going to provide a lot of reasons or anything before that. And it does feel like Nebraska, Oregon, and Nebraska has a week to really kind of state its case. I mean, Nebraska, in my mind, dropped the ball a little bit here because this door was wide open for them to get this commitment well before, this point in time. And they could have locked this up in the early signing period. And if they had done that, they would be avoiding this right now. So it's sort of a tough last week for Nebraska because they're going to have to really kind of convince them that a program that has not done anything that Oregon's done over the last few years, and it's not like Oregon's lighting the world on fire, but there's just a lot more excitement about what they have going on in Eugene than what's happened here in Lincoln.
Doesn't it also, if somebody is pretty hell-bent on going out of state, there's not much more you can do? I mean, we kind of know the background of the Minnesota recruitment, the virtual tour. He was wooed heavily by PJ Fleck and commits to Minnesota and then doesn't sign back in December and has not committed to Nebraska. If someone doesn't want to stay, then, I mean, what more can you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think that, you know, you just have to swing your shot or, you know, swing your sword, I guess, if you will, or take your shot. I don't know why I'm mixing metaphors here. But The other thing that's kind of valuable here to me, even if Nebraska doesn't get them, I think it's important that they go hard this last week.
Yep.
Because I wouldn't, you know, if he ends up going to Oregon, would you be that surprised if in 2 years' time there's a conversation where maybe Avante Dickerson is looking to do something else? And I'm not saying that because of his personality or because of Oregon or anything like that, but that's where we are in college football. So I think if you feel like you have a shot, and even if it's a small one, you should build that relationship out to the end, because transfer portal recruiting is real, it's alive, and it's a way of life. And I think that Nebraska has to at least consider that if they do right by the kid, they go all the way through this, and even if they don't get him, maybe there's another chance in a year or two, and maybe they don't want him at that point in time. I don't know. But I do think with the way that things have gone in the transfer portal, it's worth it to Nebraska to go hard in this last week, even if they're not able to land this commitment.
Boy, it's, you know, you and I have never been recruited by Oregon, but I guess if you're in the middle of the country and you know about Oregon and the relationship with Nike and the uniforms and some of the names that have come out of the program, from around here, there's a lot of flash and dash and a lot of intrigue if they're going to recruit you with a lot of interest where you feel it's real. I mean, Avante Dickerson is not the first Omaha area kid in the last 5 years that they've gone hard after. They tried to come in and grab a couple of Burke Bulldogs. Luke War, who went to Papio South, is playing basketball out there. I mean, I think there's some real that they have an interest in Avante Dickerson, but I agree with you. I think that's the thing about recruiting nowadays is you got to always be recruiting your own roster, even if you know guys that are going to come back. And then you have to be so careful, doesn't it seem, Schaefer, not to burn bridges if someone doesn't select you, or if you lose someone to the portal, to not say the wrong thing because it's always out there. That you have to, right now in recruiting publicly, you have to say everything positive. You can't say anything negative because it'll come back to bite you in the end. Because you never know, as you just alluded to, who may do the boomerang and come back to you a couple of years later.
Well, and shouldn't it always be that way? I mean, there's no value in just like airing it out anymore. There's really not. It's just always going to look like sour grapes. It's always someone else's personal decision, and they have reasons, whatever those reasons are, for the decision that they choose to make. And more, as more coaches sort of grumble about the transfer portal, you have more athletes and more trainers and more college players pushing back a little bit and joking about how there should be a coaches portal and how there should be, any time a coaches leave, it should be tracked in the same way that it is with the transfer portal. But this is where we are. I mean, college football, as much as people don't want it to be this, we're inching closer and closer to where it's just a model, much like the NFL or the NBA or a professional sports team. Like, you get a player, you hope you get him for the duration of his career, but you might only have him for a fraction of that time. So you have to make the most of that time that you have.
So kind of,
I know that people don't want to hear that, but that's the reality of where we're headed.
So kind of along those lines, Scott's media session on Friday, Wandale Robinson came up. And, you know, when you're Nebraska, there's only so much you can say, and you don't want to go there where Wandale can make a comment about the offense, and we go, how does all of this make sense? What did you make of Scott, some of Scott's comments about the departure of Wandale Robinson, which he anticipated, and how that now affects this offense moving forward?
You know, it's sort of interesting because it's not like you know, when they called this two newspaper session, which is its own thing that we can avoid a conversation on if you'd like. But when you do this, you have to know that question is coming up. I would have had to have thought that it would have been prepared how you were going to answer it. And I'm not entirely sure that Scott Frost stuck the landing on that one. I understand where he wants to go with it. I don't know that the way he phrased it sort of works in the way that you want it. You can, you know, the writers, I'm not in the room. I wasn't there as that conversation happened, but I think there's a way that you can sort of say, you know, this guy was great for us and he did everything that we could have possibly asked him to. And we had our own issues with our offense, but there's a way that you could have said there's other things you weren't able to do without sort of laying it on the feet that you're somehow going to be better, as you've gotten worse over 3 years on offense, without the one guy that has been sort of the consistent piece of that offense over the last two. So it's a, you know, it's a tricky thing. It struck me as sort of a comment that I think that they could have worked in there better from a PR standpoint. But look, he said what he said. I don't know that it's entirely wrong. I wouldn't dismiss it outright. I do think that there are some concerns where it felt like at times, especially when you're putting him at running back, that they were just forcing him the ball and it wasn't exactly working in the flow of an offense that was going to be successful. I do believe that if they want to do more in terms of using the middle of the field, you have to have bigger receivers. But there's little doubt in my mind they're a better team with a Wandale Robinson than without. And so, you know, the offense has far more issues than just Wandale Robinson. And so it's just kind of a quote that doesn't particularly work real well there.
He may only have one more year here as a quarterback. Speaking of Adrian Martinez, Scott Frost has got more than one year here. But the comments on Friday about taking more of an ownership, working with Adrian, do you think the head coach and his quarterback that he brought in are attached at the hip? If Adrian doesn't succeed, then that's the narrative on Scott. But if somehow Adrian can turn the corner in 21, then that changes the narrative of Scott Frost. How are they even more intertwined than we already thought after the comments from Friday?
Well, I don't know if they're more intertwined, but they're definitely intertwined. And I actually think it's somewhat unfair to Adrian because he's sort of intertwined with this offense. And as far as we can sort of tell through 3 years, this offense hasn't worked in the way that they want it to. And now you can point to that as some of Adrian's inability to make some of the throws, and I can accept that. And at the same time, there's the counter where they haven't set up the offense to be as successful around Adrian as he needs. Too often it's been, you got to be Superman for us to have a chance. And as we know, as good as Adrian Martinez can be, you can't expect him to be everything in that offense. And then again, we go into this offseason. He loses his leading receiver for the third year in a row. Why is it always expected that Adrian Martinez should be the one to carry the blame for when the pieces around him, they lost their leading rusher and leading receiver after 2018 and 2019. Their leading rusher in 2019 was Wandale Robinson in terms of, like, guys with the yardage, right? Or was it Mills? I really can't remember anymore. And you know, you lose Mills again this year. It's just the one constant that's been there has been Adrian Martinez. And so he gets blamed for a lot, and he has to shoulder a lot. But I don't necessarily always feel like it's his fault all the time. I think the offense has failed him in more ways than one.
Mike Schaefer joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. Sticking with Adrian, and I don't know if he'd, you know, say this publicly, but do you think Scott regrets creating the hype between the freshman and sophomore year that he had for his quarterback? Or do you think he still, 2 years later, believes that? We just haven't seen that.
I think they believe it, and we just haven't seen it. I mean, I think they believe in this offense, and I know I was just dogging it a little bit, but I believe that they feel that it can work as constructed. They just have not found the magic combination to unlock all of it. And I don't know that there was anything Nebraska specifically did to overhype Adrian Martinez. Remember, this is a guy that was like a 10-1 Heisman odd compared to the guy who won it in 2019 and Joe Burrow, who was 250-1. And so there was a lot of outside viewing of what Adrian did, particularly in that final month of November when that offense looked at its absolute best. What I've never understood is how you don't look at that month of November, or you don't look at the success that you had from the Minnesota game on, and you try to figure out how to emulate that going forward, whether it's in your running game, whether it's, you know, other offensive design calls. It's just, it's been interesting because it just feels like they took a piece of what worked, the quarterback run game, and they magnified it to be the biggest thing in the offense, and it has failed for 2 years in a row. And they can't do that again if they're going to have success in 2021.
There's, you know, and they haven't, they've hired somebody, they just have not announced it publicly, to fill Ron Brown's former spot as director of player personnel, which there's a lot more than just the title. You know what this program is, the attention that is on it, kind of the day-to-day. Scott said something, you know, he talked about the fishbowl, and he knows about it. I mean, that's, we know what the attention towards Nebraska football is. And so, you know, Scott's been through it with the good and the bad. But he kind of started to talk about that position and talked about they need to find players that thrive in Lincoln. And a big thing is recruit retention. How do you fix that? How do you think that role is going to work in terms of keeping guys around a little bit longer? Or is it you keep guys around a little bit longer and it's all on field, not off field?
I think it's a combination of both, but I think you got to have the success on the field that makes this the kind of place that you want to be off the field, right? Like, these kids that have come through Lincoln over the last decade, really up until when Bo Pelini left. I mean, think about it. From 2015 on, you've had one winning season. You've had one year where you get to really sort of experience kind of the excitement that people have about Nebraska football. And to me, that was 2018, and then that died off pretty quickly at an 0-5 start or 0-6 start. And so I just think Lincoln is a great place if you're going to be a college football player, but it's a great place when you're also winning and you get to experience the fun side of it. Been a whole lot of negativity surrounding this place, and so that's tough to live in. And if you don't have to be here, if you feel like there's an opportunity to be somewhere else and it works out well for you, I mean, I think that's going to speak volumes. So I do think they have to win. I mean, creating the family first culture is huge. I think I hear that from recruits all the time. They really like this coaching staff. Mm-hmm. They trust this coaching staff. And then they get here and they're not winning and people aren't happy. And maybe you feel isolated because it's not quite what you thought it was, or it hasn't gone the way that you had hoped, and you start to look around. I mean, I don't think anything is that unusual for Nebraska. I mean, the fishbowl is real. But yeah. I think the fishbowl is much bigger for Scott Frost. That's a weird way to phrase that, too. The fishbowl is more difficult for Scott Frost as the face of the program than it is for some of these other players. And, you know, so I think what he has to deal with relative to the anonymous nature that he had in Orlando isn't the same thing that these players have to experience. I mean, you can be a star in Nebraska and still be relatively quiet. We've seen that before.
Yes.
And I don't think you can be the head coach at Nebraska and be relatively quiet. So it's interesting to me that someone who knew that role really, really well, because he was a quarterback here, was still caught off guard by how different. I think some of that is having been away for so long, and then the added sort of desperation that you were coronated the guy to turn this thing around, and then it just has just built on itself where it hasn't happened.
One final question here on this, and this is I really appreciate this conversation. Do you think also part of this is now, you know, Scott's back and he's now into year number 4 and things haven't gone according to plan at 12-20. But the other part would be, well, there are some close losses in there where we were our own worst enemy. That maybe Scott is taken back a little bit, that he has not been given the benefit of the doubt, that when he sees things that he believes in his heart of hearts are moving in the right direction, he can't get the fan base to believe in it. And maybe part of that is, Schaefer, that he's coming into a situation where we're in a cycle of about 15 years where you see something, but we don't believe it. And now he's just the latest to say, man, I see something. We're close. How come fans don't believe it? Do you think that factors into a little bit of some of the comments he made on Friday that we scratch our head?
Well, I think it could, but I also think if you're a skeptical fan and you're sold that Scott Frost is going to be different than Mike Riley, and that Bill Moose and the athletic department are going to be more successful than what it was under Sean Eichler, and it hasn't happened, no one wants to hear about quotes. Yep. And I just have a hard time believing that he hasn't gotten the benefit of the doubt, because no coach has had the 3 seasons that he has at Nebraska and kept its job since going back
That's
to
true.
What, Bill Jennings? So it's hard to square up the idea that he wouldn't understand why Nebraska fans would be full of angst and skeptical, because the results haven't been better of the guy that he was thought to be replaced. And they haven't been better than the guy that guy was supposed to be replaced. And so it's just, it's not, you know, it's not a thing that I think he has to concern himself with more than just figuring out why they haven't turned the corner in some of these games. But I don't know if he could really view it and think, I haven't gotten the benefit of the doubt. I think after 3 years, he's gotten a lot of benefit. And now he's in a fourth year that some coaches with a different name wouldn't have got. I don't think I'm saying anything that's unfair to him or to the program.
No,
the time to win is now.
Yeah,
there's no more conversations to be had about, well, we're close, we're near it, you know, a couple things go our way. Go do it. People are tired of that.
Yeah, all we have to go off of is Saturdays. And Saturdays have been what it has been. I mean, we don't see what's going on during the week, but you're not getting paid $5 million to be good Monday through Thursday.
Right.
You're getting paid $5 million to be really good on Saturdays.
Well, but here's the thing. Are they really that good Monday through Thursday if their best player leaves 2 years in a row, or their best offensive weapon and J.D. Spielman leaves and Wandale Robinson leaves? And I think those are two entirely different situations. Maurice Washington has left. They've had a number of transfers. Like, I can believe that on one side of the ball, they've got it sort of figured out on defense. It's just he's paid $5 million a year, which I don't care about. His salary's his salary, to figure out this offense, and it's gotten worse. Like, it's just – I just don't know what you have to stand on if his complaint is that he hasn't gotten the benefit of the doubt. I'm not even saying that it is. It's just that even Monday through Friday, it hasn't been great.
No, it's the record is what it is, whether they're close losses or not. There was one – a tone from some of the stuff he said on Friday that I believe that he realizes the sense of urgency in year four, that you have to win football games. It can't be, we've got talent, we're getting better. It's, we've got to win football games. I did sense the sense of urgency, which is at least the step in the right direction. And it should be when you're going into this upcoming season and that schedule is facing you with plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, that could be. Again, we can only go off of the written quote. But I don't know. I mean, that tone could have been there any time between now and then. Like, that's the other thing. If you want the benefit of the doubt, you probably don't say things like you do after the Iowa game, right? That when this, you know, he's been doubted before. It's just people just want to see it. I just think, you know, that's what's going to make this offseason so unique for that coaching staff, so unique for the media. I mean, it's going to be a long march to whenever they play, because there's just not a whole lot that you can tell people. Like, you'll get a new special teams analyst. Great. You've got new pieces at running back or wide receiver. Great. The question is still there on Saturday. When it comes down to it, is this offense going to put up enough points to win games?
Yep.
There's no one knows. Yep. That's what sort of makes it frustrating and exciting at the same time.
Yeah, and that's why we're here, to fill in all of that time between now and, August 28th.
I am great at filling time.
Yes, you are. Shafe, I appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words about the Chiefs. I know you want them to beat the Bucks, so that's good.
I don't – I lost my big money opportunity with the Bills. I don't have a – I've made money with the Bucks. I don't really have a dog in the Super Bowl at this point. I think I just want to be entertained. So best of luck to your Chiefs. And that was the best they've looked in a while. So maybe they did finally flip that switch and they're ready to go now.
Hey, by the way, you may wake up sometime in a morning in the off season, and you won't have Stafford, Rodgers, or Trubisky in your own division.
The NFC North is going to look like the NFC East if it's not careful.
Or the National League Central, which I think the Brewers are the best team, and they might be the 16th best team in Major League Baseball. Hey, here's a good trivia question for you on your show if you are doing it this week. You're giving away something. Have somebody name a current Pittsburgh Pirate.
I'll see if Happer can do it.
Yeah, he's a good baseball guy, but I don't even think he can name a current Pittsburgh Pirate.
I can only do it because of their prospects and a couple, like, journeyman guys. Because of fantasy, but that's it. I mean, they've created the names. The names are gone.
Shafe, thanks. Have a good week.
See you, Gary.
That's Mike Schaefer. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike J. Schaefer. Lots in there. And lots of you are responding. We'll touch on that after the top of the hour. And if you want to play the game of name a current Pittsburgh Pirate, just think, there was at one time the Pirates, and this is within the last couple of years, had Cole, Glasnow, Meadows, Bell, Tyen, Musgrove. Who else they have? Archer, McCutcheon, Dickerson, Liriano. Wow. Now you have no idea who's playing for the Pirates. Tomorrow, Cooperstown will announce the class of 2021. May not be anybody going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll touch on that coming up tomorrow. 12:04, we will touch on some UFC. What happened on Saturday night? What's next for Poirier and McGregor? Stephen Muehlheisen will join us at 12:30 right here on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.